There are people in your very own family who need this river of revival. And Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Don't come to Adrian. Don't come to Bellevue. Don't come to a sermon. Come to Jesus and drink of him today. Are you thirsty? Do you want Jesus? Then thank God, you may have him.
Profound truth simply stated. This is Love Worth Finding with pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers.
I want you to take your Bibles today and turn to Ezekiel chapter 47. And the passage that I'm going to read to you first will be a little enigmatic, it'll be a little confusing. But there is a dynamic message for us in this passage of Scripture. Now, I'm going to read the first five verses to you, and I want you to follow along. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again to the door of the house. Now, the house he's speaking of is the temple. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way under the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, and he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000. And brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. What I want to speak to you about today is rivers of revival. God wants our lives, my life, to be a river that is flowing from me to you, and yours would be a river that is flowing from you to me, and together we will be touching the world with a river of revival. Now, ours is a dry land. Ours is a barren land, parched. There is a great, great need for revival in this church and in many of our homes and in many of our lives. There is a great, great need for revival in America. I'm very concerned about America. I am convinced that the only thing that can change our nation is a spiritual revival. I don't believe that the Pentagon can do it. I don't believe that the White House can do it. I don't believe that the educational system can do it. The only thing I say that will really change America is a heaven-sent revival. Now, God is using this illustration here, or this story here in Ezekiel chapter 47, as an illustration to all of us. Now, what does all of this mean? Water flowing out from under the threshold of the door of the temple. Well, you have to understand that the temple is a gigantic illustration of the Christian. You see, the Apostle Paul said, "What, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you're bought with a price." You right now are a temple of God. This building is not a temple of God. It's a meeting place. Your body is a temple of God. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. In the New Testament, he has a people for his temple. You know, there are people who would not think of doing certain things in here. They would not smoke cigarettes in here. They would not drink beer in here. They would not curse in here. They wouldn't do those things. They said, "Why? This is the house of God." Friend, listen. This is the house of God. Now, I'm thankful for these buildings, and we've dedicated them to God. But, friend, it would be far better for you to profane this place than your body. You are a temple of God. And God wants revival to usher from you. And God likens that revival to a river that flows out of the temple. Got it? Got it? Okay. Now, the three things I want us to learn today, and first of all, I want us to see what I'm going to call the mysterious source of this river. Where does this river come from? It flows out of the temple of God in verse 1. Now, that reminds me of a passage of Scripture in the New Testament. Now, keep your Bible marked there in Ezekiel chapter 47, but I want you to turn also to John chapter 7, because here is the corresponding New Testament passage that helps us to understand all of this. And it is, tells about an episode that took place at a feast, the 10th feast in the land of Israel, and was called the Feast of the Tabernacles, or Feast of Tabernacles. And at the climax of the feast, here's what happened. The priest would take a golden flask and would go down to the pool of Siloam and fill it with water and come back and pour that water near the altar. This was the high point of the feast. And when he did that, the people would shout and leap and dance and praise, and the trumpets would sound. The Talmud says, that's the Old Testament description of the Jewish life, or the description of the Old Testament Jewish life, that he who has not seen the rejoicing at the pouring out of the water has not seen rejoicing. It was a time of great excitement. Now, this is the background for the scripture we're about to read. Now, right in the middle of that ceremony, Jesus shouted. Now, he wasn't shouting with rapture shouts of joy, but he wanted the people to hear something. You see, all of these Old Testament ceremonies and feasts were all about Jesus. Understand that. It's all about Jesus. We're saying, it's not about me, it's about him. It's all about Jesus. And here they were celebrating. But Jesus knew that before long, when the enthusiasm had worn off, they would go back to their own fears, their own foibles, their own disappointments. And all that they had was a religious spasm. But they did not know reality. So right in this high moment, Jesus, who was the water of life, was right in the midst. And Jesus cried with a loud voice so they could all hear him. And here's what he said. Look, if you will, now in verse 37, John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that day, great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly," that is, out of his innermost being, "shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, what is all of this about? Jesus said, "Look, are you thirsty? Come to me and drink. And you won't just be drawing water from a well. Out of you will begin to flow a river of power and grace and joy." Now, I ask you a question. Does that characterize your life today? I mean, is there flowing out of you a river of love and power? Everywhere that you go, are you a blessing to those round about you? Are you? You know, people go from Bible conference to Bible conference to get the cup filled. I want to have my cup filled. Well, friend, if you have a river inside of you, you don't have to have your cup filled. The Lord is flowing through you. And Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now, I believe that Jesus is using this Old Testament passage of Scripture in Ezekiel chapter 47 to talk about that. The river is the river of God's power. It is the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said that it speaks of the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 7, "If any man thirst." See, here's the preface. You have to be thirsty. Are you thirsty? That's the problem. You say, "Well, Pastor, I know I'm empty. My gasoline tank has been empty many times, but it's never yet been thirsty." Are you thirsty? Do you have a burning, blistering thirst for God? Are you so filled with the stagnant waters of self-love and carnality and television and materialism that you're not thirsting for the living God? If any man thirst. Let me tell you something. You have all of God you want. Don't pass that over easily. You have all of God you want. If you don't have more of God, it's because you don't want more of God. What did Jesus say? Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's not our job to persuade God to send revival, but to permit Him to do so. To be thirsty. Do you have a real thirst? A little girl said in the middle of the night to her mommy, "Mommy, I want a drink of water." The mother got up and gave the little girl some water. 15 minutes later, said, "Mommy, I want some more water." She got up wearily the second time and gave the child some water. 20 or 30 minutes later, the little girl cried out and said, "Mommy, I want some water." The mother got up and gave her water and said, "If you ask for water one more time, I'm going to spank you." A little while later, the little girl said, "Mommy, when you get up to spank me, will you bring me some water?" That's thirst. Thirst that will not be denied. Now, we're talking about the mysterious source of this river. Let me tell you where the river comes from. It comes, number one, from a humble source. From a humble source. In verse 1, the Bible tells us that the river flowed from under the threshold. Now, friend, that's about as low as you can get. The water is flowing out from under the threshold of the house. How we need to humble ourselves before God. Many of us sit in church, heady, high-minded, unbent, unbroken, somehow thinking that we're doing God some sort of a service or favor by being here. If there were ever a time when America needs to be on its face before God, this is the time. And in our church, we can talk about our buildings and our program and our music and our preaching and our teaching and all of that. That does no good at all without a brokenness before God. We need to have a humbleness in our heart. Now, next, the river flows not only from a humble source, but it flows from a holy source. The Bible tells us that it flows past the altar in verse 1. From under the threshold and past the altar. The altar was the place where the blood was shed. That was the place for the sacrifice of sin. That was the place of cleansing. There can never be any true revival until we repent. We have to come past the altar. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, what I'm trying to say is that this river, this mysterious force of this river, comes out of the Christian who is a temple of God, but it comes from under the threshold. There's a humble source. And then it comes past the altar. There is a holy source. And then notice, the Bible says it comes from the east side toward the Dead Sea. And it comes, this water comes from the south side of the altar, flowing out into the east. Now, if you've been to Israel, you know that one of the most glorious sights is to see the sun rise in the east and shine upon Jerusalem. What is he saying here? He's saying that the source of this water is a heated source. It comes from the sunny side. It comes from the warm side. So many churches are so cold, you would think that Jack Frost was a pastor. You can ice skate down the aisle. You know, God does business with those that mean business. Is your heart warm? Are you truly concerned? Or are you counting the minutes until the service is over this morning? Thinking about what you're going to see on television? Thinking about what you're going to have for lunch? May God warm our hearts. May there be a holy fire in our church, in mine, in yours. Bobby Burns was a famous Scottish poet. He was dejected, cold, needing a spiritual boost. He found a little church and he went into it. and the church was frigid and cold, and the people were indifferent. Bobby Burns did not find what he was looking for, so he took out a hymnal. This great poet scratched these words in the hymnal: "As cold a wind as ever blew, as cold a church, and in it but few. As cold a minister as ever spack, ye'll all be hot ere I come back." Did you know when people walk in here, they ought to see and feel the warmth of Almighty God? This river that flows out of us will flow from a holy place. It will flow from a humble place. It will flow from a heated place. This is the mysterious source of the river. Now here's the second thing I want you to see. I want you to see what I'm going to call the marked course of the river. Look again in verses 2 through 5. "And then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000. There was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over." Now what's he talking about? Well, I want you to imagine this beautiful, crystal clear water cascading down a mountainside. And here it comes, and they begin to measure the water. This water begins to come out from under the threshold. It flows past the altar. It is warmed by the Spirit of God. And the man begins to measure the water in 500-yard increments. First of all, the water is up to the ankles. That to me speaks of walking in the Spirit. Then after a while, the water's up to the knees. That speaks to me of praying in the Spirit. Then the waters are up to the loins. That speaks to me of strength in the Spirit. And then finally, the waters were too deep to pass over. Waters to swim in. Waters that would engulf. Waters that would sweep you along. That speaks of the overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit, not merely to wade and to walk and to pray and to be strong, but to see something so supernatural that it cannot be explained. Would you not like to see in your home, in our lives, in this church, in this nation, a mighty cascading river of revival? Would you not like to see that? You know, this river is such an amazing river, because it gets wider and deeper as it goes. And there are no tributaries. Now, the Mississippi is a mighty river, but it has many tributaries. This river gets wider and deeper and wider and deeper because it is a supernatural river. Now, what is the course of the river? Number one, it flows into the depressed places. Verse 8 says, "And these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea." Now, what's he talking about? Well, if you know anything about the topography of Israel, you know that the temple sits on a mountaintop, 2,700 feet above sea level. And if you look east, it begins to drop and go down and down and down and down and down and down and down, till it comes to the lowest spot on the face of the earth. That's where the Dead Sea is. And the waters go down and down and down. What they're doing is this. They are flowing into the depressed places. People around us are about as low as they can get. They're demoralized. They're frustrated. They're fearful. They're jaded. They're brokenhearted. One of the major problems in America is depression. And what those people around you need is a river of life flowing out of you. Not only does the river flow into the depressed places, but it flows, friend, into the desert places. Again, in verse 8 says, they go forth to the desert. The Judean desert called the Arabah is a place where very little can grow. It is a desert. And there's so many again whose lives are fruitless. And our Lord has told us that we are to go and bring forth fruit and that our fruit should remain. People need a life of fullness and fruitfulness, but they're living in a desert. You may be married to a man living in a desert. You may have children living in a desert. You may have neighbors living in a desert. There's no life. You need to be a river of life to these people. The river flows to the depressed places. The river flows to the desert places. And then the river flows to the deadly places. The Bible says it goes down into the sea. Now, I've told you the sea there is the Dead Sea, 1,300 feet below sea level and itself 1,300 feet deep. Now, this Dead Sea receives water from the River Jordan, but it does not give up water. The only way it gives up water is by evaporation. And therefore, the minute particles of salt that are in the Jordan River remain there in the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea has gotten saltier and saltier and saltier. 25% more salt in the Dead Sea than in the ocean waters. The waters are leaden and deadly, and no organic life can live in them. And this is where this wonderful river begins to flow into the depressed places, into the desert places, into the deadly places. Now, if there were ever a description of what our world needs, what our church needs, what your family needs, is for you to have a river of life flowing out of you into those places. And friend, I'm telling you, they're all around. They're all around. This is not geography. This is theology. God is not talking to you about something way back yonder. God is talking to you about your life being a river of revival. Again, there are those who make things happen. There are those who watch things happen. There are those who don't know anything is happening. I'll probably miss the first two groups this morning, or the last two groups this morning. But I'm just praying God will give us a little colony of Christians who will say, "Oh my God, oh my God, I want to be part of a mighty revival. And I want there to come out of me a river of living water." Now, let's close this by talking about the mighty force of the river. The mighty force of a river. This river is a powerful river. Look, if you will, in verse 9. "And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come from thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river comes." Now, a river has mighty force. It's a very relentless thing. It's hard to handle. There's nothing you can do to stop a river. You say, "Well, we can dam it up." Would it just overflow its banks then? You say, "Well, we'll throw rocks into it." Throw all the rocks you want. You can't stop this river. The only way, listen, the only way that a river can be stopped is to stop it at its source. That's the only way. What is the source of this river? You are. The Holy Spirit is flowing out of you. You hold the key to revival. God wants mighty force to come out of you. Now notice, I want you to see what happens here. First of all, where the waters flow, the trees will grow. Look in verse 7. "And when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river, there were very many trees on the one side and on the other." This is the desert. And now here are these glorious, succulent, green trees. Very many growing alongside the river. You know, the Bible says that a righteous man is like a tree planted by the river. What's he talking about? Mere trees? No. He's talking about your life. Your life fructifying and blessing the lives of many and changing the lives of many. And because of you, there will be multitudes in heaven because they become like trees planted by the rivers of water. And not only will the trees grow, but where the waters flow, the fish will go. Look in 47 verses 8 and 9. Then saith he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed, and they shall come to, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. This is a life-giving river. It flows down into that Dead Sea that I'm talking about where nobody could live. No fish could live. And now the sea becomes fresh, clean, pure, and it begins to swarm with fish. You see, Jesus said, we're in the business of fishing for men. Do you know why we don't catch many fish? Because we're fishing in a stagnant pond. We're fishing in a place where the fish don't care to come. Not everybody will be attracted by your life if you're filled with the Spirit, but I will guarantee you that if you get on fire for Jesus Christ, if there's coming out of you a humble flow, a holy flow, a heated flow, if those waters are flowing down into the depressed, the desert, and the deadly places, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Lost people are going to be attracted. You think about the day of Pentecost. There were probably over 1 million Jews in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And there were 120 disciples, just 120. Now here's the question. How are 120 going to reach a multitude? Well, God's Holy Spirit so came upon them as they were praising and magnifying God. The Bible says it was noised abroad what happened, and the multitude came to them. Friend, when we have spiritual revival, we're going to catch fish by the netful. You know, on Sunday morning, I'll preach and give an invitation. We'll have 6, 8, 10, 12 people come in a service to accept Christ. And I'm grateful for that. But we ought not to have a service without 100, 200 people saved. I mean, listen, look at the people out here. Look around you. Look at this crowd. What would happen if out of your life was flowing a river of living water? If you were sharing Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, where the rivers flow, the trees grow. Where the rivers flow, the fish will go. And I'll tell you what else. Where the river flows, the fruit will show. Look in verse 12. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and that side, shall grow all trees for meat, that is, for eating, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. For it shall bring forth new fruit according to its months, because the waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, that is, for food, and the leaf for medicine. Delicious clusters of fruit are there. What is the fruit? Simple. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, mercy, faith. Where these waters flow, and these trees grow, and these fish go, there will be fruit. There will be fruit that will show. And it'll be very obvious that you're a child of God. People, when they meet you and walk away from you, will have to say in their heart, whether they believe in you or like you or not, they have to say that you are different because they see in you the fruit of the Spirit, which is really the character of Jesus Christ. Last of all, friend, where the rivers go, the health will glow. Listen, we live in a deadly situation, but look in verse 12, and by the river and upon the bank thereof are these trees, and it says here, and their leaves shall be for the healing of the nations. The church is sick today. Many saints in this building are weak and anemic. You have become the devil's plaything. You have no power in your prayer life. You have no substance in your witness. You have no great authority in your spiritual warfare. Very frankly, you need to be healed. And so, you see, the secret to your healing, you know what it is? The man on this platform. Or the people sitting next to you, the person next to you. You see, if out of me is flowing a river of living water, my life will be health to you. This is what we need. This is what we must have. Now the message is over, but I want you to listen. I want you to go back to the first. As we talk about the source of a river, it is a humble source. Are you willing to humble yourself before God? You say, well, I'll pray and ask God to make me humble. That's a dangerous prayer. If you're wise, you will humble yourself before God. It comes, friend, from a holy source. Is there right now, this morning, answer me, young man in the balcony, answer me, is there any unconfessed sin in your life? Then don't expect to be a river of revival. Let it flow from under the threshold. Let it flow past the altar. Let it flow from the sunny side of your life. I'm telling you that there are people in your very own family who need this river of revival. And Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Don't come to Adrian. Don't come to Bellevue. Don't come to a sermon. Come to Jesus and drink of him today. Are you thirsty? Do you want Jesus? Then thank God, you may have him.
May I have another word with those of you who've been watching this program? How God has blessed here in this worship center as souls have come to say, I am trusting Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I've got some good news for you. You don't have to be in this building to receive Christ. He is right there with you. He's closer than the breath in your lungs. And you need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sin, cleanse me, and save me just like you're doing these others today. And if you do that, would you write to us and let us know that you've done it? We will rejoice and send you some literature to help you get started in your Christian life.
We hope that today's message has been an encouragement to you as Adrian Rogers brings us more profound truth simply stated. You can stream this message again, share this message with a friend, and download Pastor Rogers' outline, notes, and a complete transcript of this message, all at lwf.org or the MyLWF app. At lwf.org, you can also subscribe to our daily Heartbeat email. Each Heartbeat contains a daily devotional thought from Adrian Rogers, a 90-second audio bite, also from Adrian Rogers, and a link to our daily radio program, delivered directly to your inbox or mobile device each day. And don't forget, you can catch up on our program each week on our Facebook page or YouTube channel, or the MyLWF app. The ministry of Love Worth Finding is distinguished by the trusted voice of Pastor Adrian Rogers, delivering profound truth, simply stated. We hope that you will consider partnering with us. It's a great way to extend your personal impact to the nations. Find out more at lwf.org. Thanks for joining us for today's message. We'll see you next time.
You see, it is the secret place that is the sacred place. Now, when I say the secret place, I don't mean a place that no one else knows about. I simply mean a place where you are there alone with the Lord.
Having a secret place is very important because I know that Jesus is always there waiting for me. I know where I can find him.
At Love Worth Finding, our mission is to draw people to Jesus and help believers grow deeper in their faith. That's why we want to send you a copy of Front Porch Moments by Gail Rogers Foster, including key insights from her father, Adrian Rogers. Gail uses this beautiful 30-day devotional to equip believers with wisdom and truth she's learned from her quiet time with the Lord.
You may not even have a front porch, but there is a secret place for you as well. God's invitations are for anyone who will respond.
For your gift, we want to send you a copy of Front Porch Moments. Call 1-800-647-9400 with your gift, or you can give online at lwf.org.